Just wanted to come on before we start the podcast today to let everybody know that Chris Aaron and I recorded this on Saturday, the 21st of March. And some things could change by the time this comes out on Monday. Hopefully we're going to get some news from DC, but we just kind of wanted to get a snapshot of what was going on and how these incredible circumstances are affecting the comic book industry. So everything we said in the podcast may not be accurate now that a few days have passed, and it's a very fluid situation, so things will continue to change. So hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey everybody, Jace here. I wanted to talk about something before we get to the episode. Just in these crazy times of the coronavirus and social distancing and people needing to self-quarantine, obviously we know comic shops could be hurting in the near term without that cash flow. So be sure and pick up your pull box. Be sure and set up delivery or curbside pickup or whatever you need to do. Be sure you try to keep that cash flow going for them. Understand not everybody's going to be able to. Some people themselves, especially in the hospitality industry, aren't getting paid right now, and things are uncertain, and people are stressed out, and I get it. But if you're able to help, if you're able to make sure you keep in contact with your comic book store, that's definitely a plus. And there's another business that's being impacted by the cancellation of Comic-Cons and such that I wanted to talk about, and it's Hero Within. I'm a big fan of Hero Within. We've had Tony B. Kim, the founder of Hero Within, on the show before to talk about it. And what they do is they make geek apparel, I guess you'd say, that's really more of a higher end product than just a t-shirt. That's not to say that they don't make t-shirts, but you know, something you can wear that's nicer. Like I have the Superman blazer that's absolutely amazing. It has tons of pockets. On the back, stitched in is the outline of the Superman emblem. They do another one for Batman. They just have some really, really high quality apparel that allows you to kind of let your geek flag fly without being in your face. You know, things you could wear to the office or out to a nice dinner. They're doing pre-orders now for a couple of things, and I encourage you all to go to their website and check it out. And if you're able to pick something up, not only because it's super cool, but because you'd really be helping out Hero Within, Tony Kim, and the whole Hero Within family. With all these conventions closed and canceled and postponed, it's really hurting them because that's where they do the majority of their business. And they could really use your support right now. So follow Hero Within on social media to find out about special deals they have going on right now. I'll put links in the show notes to all of the stuff. Twitter is at Hero Within INC, so at Hero Within Inc. Tony himself has a Twitter, and he's really funny, and he's such a great guy. He really is one of us. He hosts panels at comic conventions, and he loves talking about Marvel movies and these heroes and everything. So give him a follow as well. It's at Crazy4ComicCon. That's the number 4. You can also find Hero Within on Instagram. Just do a search for Hero Within. And then, of course, their website, which is HeroWithinStore.com. And again, I think it's really worthwhile. I love what Tony does. And you can tell how much he cares and how much he is one of us, even based on the fact that right now in these tough times, what Tony decided to do is to create a Stand Together shirt with these people having to be self-quarantined and everybody's supposed to keep their distance from everybody. It's sort of feels like we're more divided than ever, right? Like the world is divisive enough. So this is something you can do. You can go and buy the Stand Together t-shirt. You can wear it and you can feel like you're part of something that we're all coming together despite the fact that we're all being told we need to stay apart. And on top of that message that this shirt is sending, Tony and Hero Within are also going to be donating a portion of the proceeds for all the sales from the Stand Together t-shirts to the COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund for the World Health Organization. So again, it just shows what a great guy Tony is, how socially conscious he is, how much he cares. So again, this is not a paid advertisement. Tony didn't ask me to do this. I just feel like what Tony and his team do is so great. If you ever have been at a convention, if you go by the Hero Within booth, it's such a great community. You have people that have bought clothing in the past that just come by and just want to say hi to Tony and his staff. You have people coming to pick up the, you know, whatever the new latest apparel is, whether it be DC or Marvel or the Star Trek license that they have now. It's just a great, fun time, and it brings people together. And so, again, I love Tony. I'm proud to consider him a friend, and I just love that what he does helps bring us together. And it was no surprise to me when I found out about the Stand Together T-shirt and Tony donating a portion of the proceeds to the World Health Organization. It's just the kind of guy he is. So I thought, well, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to throw this bumper in front of the podcast to make sure to give a signal boost. And those that can help, please do so. And even if you can't, you can shout out Hero Within on social media and help spread the word. And we can be sure that Hero Within can weather this storm. So thanks for listening, as always, everybody. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Well, you're probably stuck at home. This is going to be a special episode, a little bit different than the regular schedule. We're going to talk about kind of the effects of this unprecedented event on comics, the way it's affecting publishing and creators, as well as some steps some publishers and Diamond have taken or been rumored to take, and things you can do as well to help out your local comic shops. A lot of them are offering services to try to get through this this kind of lean time, so to speak. My guest today has been working for 2 decades as a writer and an editor. He has written about comics based media, cartoons, what have you, for USA Today, Life, Publishers Weekly, Ad House Books, Comic Book Resources, Bleeding Cool. He's also a comic writer himself. He's written things like Female Force Princess Diana, 4 stories. He's had stories in anthologies like the Eisner-winning Tori Amos comic book Tattoo, 24/7 Volume 2, Negative Burn. He's currently working for Newsarama as a writer and an editor. So it's my pleasure to welcome to the show, Chris Aaron.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you everybody for listening today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Chris. I really consider you kind of a voice of sanity in the comics industry. We know how it can be, especially with fans, social media and such, it can sort of get out of control and people can go to extremes a lot of times. So I always appreciate your level-headedness. I think you come at it from a unique perspective, being that you're a fan yourself. You kind of get where they're coming from, but you've worked in the comics press for so long, you have really good insight into sort of behind the scenes. And I feel like it's something we don't have enough of these days. You know, a good, unbiased opinion about comics and the comic industry. And so it's great to have you on, because I feel like you're somebody that really bridges the gap with a foot in both worlds, so to speak. So it's great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for that comment. But I will say, like, I am biased. Like, I want good comics, and I want people to be able to read good comics and people to be able to make good comics. And I think we can all, regardless of the type of comics we like, I think we can all agree on that is kind of the overall goal that everybody has. And I think these recent weeks have kind of put a head to that, to really see the human face with comics, with the readership, with the creators, with the retailers, with the employees that work at various companies and printers and stuff like that. And I really think this kind of it's sad in these circumstances, but it kind of puts a real human face and a real humanity that comics have.
Well, do you think, I mean, obviously the big scare right now, or the big worry, is how are retailers going to be able to pay their bills? How are they going to, you know, be able to reopen after this, you know, depending on how long it drags on. There's people out there. I saw Jerry Conway, of all people, talking about this is going to be the death of print comics. It certainly is hurting the direct market for sure. But to hear you, what you just said, to kind of speak to that, it's like, in a way, there's positives that could come from this. Obviously, we don't want people not able to pay their bills. We don't want, you know, economic hard times and such. But hopefully, if it does bring people together or sort of show what needs to be done going forward, there could be positives to come out of that situation. Would you say that's possible?
Yeah, like I do think this is going to enact some change in the industry. There is not one-to-one, but there is some historical precedents where things like this have occurred that have forced change. Like, I won't say if it was good change or bad change, but forced change. Like, I've been speaking to older people in the industry who were around in the 1970s and talked about the gas crisis and how that affected just the shipping and delivery of comics, because that was back as comics were switching from being sold in gas stations and grocery stores to being sold in what's now the direct market of comic stores, and how that may have, I won't say basically helped comic stores, but I think it changed the dynamics. But like, it really is kind of putting a crunch on the existing way comics, especially comic books, are read. I do think with the retailers, like saying the retail, there's kind of different aspects of it. There is the comic shops, there is the bookstores, there's also digital comics. There is comic stores that operate either primarily or exclusively with mail order, which I'd like to talk about, and also different avenues like libraries and stuff like that, where they may not sell comics per se, but a lot of people do read comics via libraries and similar resources.
Yeah, let's talk about retail. Obviously, there's a lot of different branches, like you were saying. In your eyes, how has this quarantine kind of affected those different aspects of retail?
Well, I think the overriding concern right now is comic stores, or whatever that be, comic stores in the United States, Canada, Mexico. I spoke with a retailer in Israel. And I spoke to one in South Africa. What they're all feeling right now is they may be able to get the books to them, but just in terms of being able to operate at stores, depending on where you live and where the stores are, they may not even be able to open their doors to sell to the public. And that's not even to count if they were to be able to provide a safe environment for their employees to work and to basically sell these physical goods that you have to hand back and forth with people, and like, and also creating a safe environment for customers. I think kind of the physical good aspects of it is really kind of putting a real squeeze, especially with the idea and the concerns, the real concerns, and also some of the panic that some people might have about the COVID-19.
Yeah. So that's kind of the physical aspect of it. And yeah, we want everybody to be safe. What about the fact that people are being told to not leave their homes? I was seeing a couple of retailers speaking out on social media saying, you know, it's great that we have mail order. It's great that we have eBay to kind of keep some, you know, cash flow going. But the vast majority of our business is, you know, walk-ins, especially on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. you know, when those new comics come out. So that's a unique challenge as well.
Yeah, like, I think it's really kind of basically encouraging retailers to find different ways to sell comics. Like, are they a comic store that only basically caters to people that can come in, or is this kind of forcing some ideas that have thought of before? Like, there's many stores have been doing curbside pickup. Some stores have been doing mail order. Some stores already do mail order. There's even some stores, like I spoke with one in California, that is doing comics delivery. Like, if you sign up for a certain period of time, they'll do weekly or biweekly delivery of your comics within a certain area. Diamond, which is the main distributor for comics in North America and some other English-speaking countries, has been updating their resource, comicshoplocator.com, and encourage retailers to put on their profile if they are, in fact, doing these services. So people that are home listening to us today can they can look on there to see if there's anybody in their area that does curbside pickup, delivery, or any of those other options that they're comfortable with, or they can also contact the retailers directly. I really think like anybody that has a comic shop, I think they should reach out to their retailer and speak to them in person and just show them that you're still like interested in being a customer and kind of let them tell you person to person what they are able to do to help you get the comics you read, but also do it safely for yourself, the reader, or the employee, and like anyone that might be putting those two together, whether it be a delivery person or what have you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like a market correction in a way. I feel like, you know, I agree with you. I think in this sort of day and age, the margins are so thin. It's such a crazy industry. I talk about it all the time on the podcast about how in no other retail store would you be asked to order product 2 months ahead of time, sight unseen. Hope it gets created. Hope it shows up. And then, you know, pay for it, non-returnable, and hope that people come in and buy it. It's a crazy system. It's been a crazy system for a long time. And I feel like comic shops who haven't been taking advantage of some of these other avenues already, you know, having an online presence, having a social media presence, those might be the ones that go away. And it's sad to see, because I think there's a lot of value in, you know, walking into a comic shop on a Wednesday or any other day, really, and browsing the racks and seeing what catches your eye and, you know, meeting other comic fans and, you know, forming friendships and things like that. But you've got to evolve. And this may show that the old model, the old traditional model of the brick and mortar comic shop where you don't have an online presence doesn't really work today in kind of the digital age, so to speak. And to me, that there's something about that that's too bad. You know, I think I feel badly for those shops, because those are the shops that I went to, you know, when I about mid 20s, early 20s, you know, when I was able to drive and I had disposable income and I used to be able to go around to shops and, you know, meet people and, hey, let me go check out this shop if I'm on vacation somewhere and that sort of thing. And it's there's something to be said for that, the discovery, going in a new place, seeing how they do things differently, what product they might have you couldn't find somewhere else. But I don't know. It might be time for a lot of those kind of stores, at least for us to have fewer of those type of stores, because I don't know that model can work anymore. What do you think?
I think there's many different variations of the model, and there's also third-party companies that are stepping up to be available as service providers to some comic shops, the same way in the 80s, Marvel and Diamond helped comic shop owners switch from actual cash registers like you'd see in old movies to point-of-sale systems and things like that, the ability to take credit cards. But there's a company now named Comics Hub that is helping retailers work with their customers and do kind of like online pull lists and can even arrange web presence and things like that. And that service, they're running a discount now where retailers that might be in that position where they don't have an online presence or don't know how to update it can basically port into the system and be able to provide some kind of service. And this kind of market disruption could make the idea of that something where, as of 3 weeks ago, that may not be something that they'd be willing to try. That might open up some options in this new, I don't want to say the new normal, but this in this time period where we may be in for weeks or months, might lead them to follow that route and explore new options and adapt. Like I do think the direct market comic store retail model has adapted. Like, if you look back in old records, originally comic shops didn't sell new comics. All they sold was secondhand copies, and how then they eventually adapted to sell new comics. I think this is just another one of those periods where there's a way for them to adapt to that model. I know the comics retailers are very resourceful a lot, that they've been able to. These are all essentially mom and pop businesses where they pay for their own insurance, they take care of their employees, they take care of their customers, and they kind of adapt to the times. And I think this is just one of those things where they're going to need to adapt it, for the best interests of themselves and their customers.
Yeah, we saw a big explosion of comic shops in the 90s, with, you know, the whole speculator market and variant covers really became a thing. My big belief is it was a lot of speculators coming in from the sports card market. Mm-hmm. That was the kind of time it kind of exploded, late 80s, early 90s. And then when they realized that, hey, I'm not going to be able to send my kids to college selling whatever Billy Ripken, you know, error card from Fleer, they moved on to comics. They said, oh, look at some of these comics that are selling for tons of cash. And we had a big explosion. A lot of shops opened. And then the market sort of self-corrected, and we had the crash in the mid-90s, and a lot of shops closed. And it was really, I look at it as sort of market correction. Obviously, we have extenuating circumstances with this virus and the effects of that and shops not being able to be open. But in your mind, is this somewhat similar to that in terms of market correction? Maybe we have too many stores. It's a lot easier to get comics shipped to you now, and to use a lot of these other sort of aspects of the direct market that we're speaking about here. You don't necessarily have to have a shop that's, you know, a couple miles from your house to be able to get your book. So is this market correction? Do we have too many comic shops overall? Or maybe I shouldn't put it that way. Maybe I should say, do we have more brick and mortar comic shops than the actual market and demand can support?
I don't know. Like, I don't think we have too many. Like, people now can get comics if they really wanted to, cheaper than they could by going to their local store. And basically having the store offers them choice, offers them a place to browse, like offers them to have a community if they so choose, and to kind of be a part of something. And I know many people that have a blended shopping experience where some stuff they buy from their store, some stuff they buy at conventions they go to, some stuff they buy on Amazon, and they also do digital through Comixology or another service. I don't want to put doom and gloom on the comics retail shop, but I do encourage comics retail shops adapting to the times and finding a way to be that place that people want to come out and do as a community experience. The process of reading comics in itself is a solitary experience. Like, you might find it hard to read a comic sitting next to somebody reading the same comic, but it's all about the conversation that surrounds that, which, and just the browsing and everything, the personal, like interaction, I think, that comic stores can provide, that even digital means, like me running an online news site, we still can't, we can do a version of, but we can't provide that same exact experience. I do think there is a place for it, but I think these current times are just maybe might end up shaking out and helping people adapt to a scenario that makes it safer, like everybody to do that, and but also some people might convert to fully digital reading with Comixology or something else as part of this.
Yeah, I could see that happening as well. Well, we've talked quite a bit about how this is affecting retailer. What about creators? I know that you, much like myself, know a lot of creators that work in the industry. It's kind of interesting from my perspective. I've seen especially artists talk about how this is sort of putting everybody in the same kind of boat that they've been in. You know, they
they don't leave their house. They're working from home. They don't have that much contact, you know, with people face to face. So, you know, I know they're trying to make the best of a bad situation and kind of be lighthearted about it and saying, hey, you know, I've been preparing for this, you know, my whole career because this is the existence that I've been living. But there are other aspects to it, right? I mean, we've seen, we're going to talk about this in a little bit here. We've seen some publishers go on hiatus or at least delay things. So, you know, that could affect some creators being able to get work or be paid. So it's, you know, it's a greater impact than just saying, yeah, they're all working from home now, which a lot of them did anyway. So it's not really affecting them. I mean, they're still people. They're still used to being able to go outside and such. So what's your sense on how this whole situation is affecting creators?
I really feel for creators right now. Like you said, 95% of comic creators work from home or work from a private studio because they're not employed by the comics publisher. They don't need to live in New York or Burbank or Portland. So they do work from home. So they have that aspect of it. But I can imagine there being a lot of unease at the industry because they don't have an employment contract or anything like most, some might. But there might be some unease in that. But then you got to think of them as people. Like I won't say who, but there's a very popular creator that has adopted several kids. And I think that's a great thing, adoption, by the way. But he says this week he feels like he's a principal of a little school right now because all of his kids are home. And he's, yes, to us, he is a writer, but to these six or seven kids, him and his wife are the parents to these kids, and they're home all the time. And they don't just want to put him in front of a video game or put him in front of the comics he buys. But he has to, now in addition to writing comics, like he has to be a full-time father and working with his wife to help those kids. So even if they work at home, there's other things impacting that I think really affect it. Second to that, many comic creators make a good amount of money on the side or as their main business, going to conventions, selling commissions, selling original art, selling comics. And I think that has really impacted creators. I know one creator-owned creator that self-publishes, that he says by missing conventions for 2 months, just 2 months of conventions have canceled. It's a six-figure loss for him. Like he estimated to make a six-figure profit. To put that in layman's terms, at least $10,000. Like he's going to be missing out on a guaranteed a revenue just by not being able to do these conventions. So I think it really is affecting them. And like you said, there is kind of just the concern of if the market now changes, like how will that affect them working from home and dealing with those changes as publishers have openly talked about postponing projects, canceling some projects, some are offering deep discounts, which we'll talk about later and what that means for them. But I can also, if it does turn to more digital users, sometimes the contracts aren't clear on what they actually get when a digital comic is sold versus when a print comic is sold. So that, like, also brings up uncertainty.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'll mention is, you know, I saw in early last week that one of the Scandinavian countries, I think it was Denmark, was asking all their students from abroad to come back home, basically saying it was dangerous to mm-hmm. be out. And as they specifically called out students in the United States, they said, you know, any student studying in an underdeveloped country, mm-hmm. and they were referring to the healthcare system, and they said underdeveloped country like the United States. I think that's telling, you know, here we are supposed to be a world leader, but they're referring to us in terms of the healthcare system as underdeveloped, and specifically called it ramshackle, which unfortunately is quite accurate, actually. But again, like Chris said, these creators, they don't work for the companies, most of them don't, you know, unless they've signed an exclusive contract. But, you know, that's the exception rather than the rule. It's a you know, relatively small percentage, much less than half, that have these exclusive contracts. So that means they're a freelancer. They basically work for themselves, which means no benefits, no retirement, no health insurance, which, you know, if you do get sick and you have to go to the hospital, that, you know, that's a crushing medical bill with the cost of care in this country. So that's a boat that these creators are in as well. So at a time when the direct market is in flux and in question in terms of can it survive? And basically it all comes down to how long does this thing last? How long are we on lockdown, mm-hmm. so to speak? So it's adding a level of stress to these creators who are trying to continue to write and continue to create art and continue to provide for our entertainment, which, you know, we could use the distraction right now, on top of the stress of other family commitments, like Chris was saying, with, you know, the kids being home and such. So it's a lot. So I just wouldn't want to encourage everybody. You're on social media. This is not the time to be calling creators out because you didn't like a particular thing they did or what have you. We're all in the same boat in terms of the uncertainty of the future. So a little kindness goes a long way. And I, for the most part, I think people have been that way online. But, you know, it's Twitter. It's you know, Facebook. People can get out of hand pretty quickly. So just a reminder, you know, there are people too, and they're dealing with a lot of stress as well. So I just want to remind everybody of that. The other thing that I want to mention in terms of how this has been effective or affected kind of the comics industry, it's a little bit taken the next step, I guess you'd say. And it's the derivative production or the derivative media from comics, the production of, you know, TV shows, movies, that sort of thing. I know personally I'm good friends with Dinesh Shyamdasani. I got invited by him to go to a screening of Bloodshot. The day before it was going to come out on March 12th in LA. And it was a very small group that was there to attend this this private screening just because people didn't want to go out. And not only that, he told me that early in the week, based on advanced ticket sales and the metrics and whatever formulas the film industry uses to measure, you know, expected returns for the box office, Bloodshot was actually tracking to do very well. And then as the news came out that week of quarantines and the virus spreading, the numbers just started dropping precipitously. And it's just bad timing. It's nobody's fault. But things like that have been affected. The film industry, we've seen, has been hugely affected. And production's been halted on a lot of these other media projects. So again, it's just affecting the creators. It's affecting the industry because, you know, we've seen with these Marvel movies that they just make so much money, and you know, some of that capital is infused back into the source material. And also it shows that Hollywood and other people who are, you know, are casual fans of comics or maybe don't read comics at all, it introduces them to these characters. It shows them, hey, comics are still around. These are cool stories. These are cool characters. So with that all being up in the air, it's affecting the industry as well. Chris, what are you hearing?
Yeah, like I think it's affecting media that's inspired by comics. And it's affecting their bottom line and those people making money. But also, if those things aren't made, then the people that find out about it through there and then end up in comics, like many of us have, like that's going to be stymied as well. But even just a little thing, it's like, say, a comic gets picked up to be a movie. Even if the movie doesn't happen, like the comic creator gets money from basically signing a deal for the rights to develop it. And I don't imagine there's going to be many of those deals being made in the next few weeks, because they don't know what the market's going to be like. Because those deals normally have a time span where, I don't know, if I have a comic, I sell the movie rights, it's for a term, let's say, of 2 years. So they don't want that clock to start on that 2-year term right now when they don't know if they're not going to be able to begin production for 6 months. when will they start a new production? But then there's all these other productions that are already greenlit that are being postponed. So once, say, Hollywood or the movie TV industry comes back, like, there's not going to be, may not be room for projects to get started for a while, just with all this backlog, similar to the writer's strike from a few years ago. There just became this backlog of material that needed to be shot, and studios might be booked up, even big ones like in Atlanta and in London, and also that big hub in Vancouver and Toronto where a lot of TV is filmed, just to kind of to get that out, like, out there. Some projects you see that might have been greenlit, if production is postponed for 3 to 6 months, those might be reevaluated, and projects that were previously going to go ahead may or may not go ahead. Like, for instance, that Black Canary spinoff to Arrow, will that happen? I don't have any inside knowledge, but projects like that, where they're announced as happening, but they haven't yet started work, like things like that may be the easiest for studios who are now more risk adverse, may decide not to do a risk with those type of projects once they get back working.
Yeah, it's a good point. And like Chris said, you know, the backlog, and does it come back to where it was? I don't know. I guess we'll see. Well, we've talked a lot about kind of the way things have been affected. What about the steps that have been taken so far? I know there's been quite a few publishers that have spoken out. DC's kind of conspicuous in its absence, although I hear that they may have an announcement soon, maybe Monday. But what are some of the things that you have been hearing that are positives or could perhaps provide relief in some of these areas?
Okay, I will say that's it's a fast-moving situation. As we record this, I'll say on March 21st, this is kind of how it is now, as it's been publicly announced, so things may change. I do expect announcements, like, next week, so we'll just kind of see how it is then. But Marvel on Friday announced some pretty deep discounts for retailers to try to get them to to encourage them to continue ordering products, but they do it at a deep discount that if they do decide to sell products, they'll have a more rate of return. Other publishers have decided to go with a better returnability strategy. And he brought up earlier that there's not returnability in the market. I will say, certain smaller publishers do allow returnability already. Boom does that with their guarantee program. Vault does that to a degree, and some others do. But DC and Marvel predominantly don't in some cases, especially DC for new titles. They do offer returnability, but it's on a case-by-case basis. Image, Dynamite, and Oni have all said that they're offering full returnability on titles that have come out from them for the next few weeks. Their terms are each a little bit different. So it's up to the retailer to check. I would say for any of these returnability or discounts, I would encourage readers not to presume or ask retailers if they can therefore get that discount, because that kind of defeats the purpose. I know there's the idea that if the retailer is getting a discount, shouldn't he pass that on to us? The reason for the discounts is to help them earn some money in these lean times. But going back to what I said, like Image, Dynamite, and Oni have announced specific returnability clauses. Marvel has the deep discount. Image, Boom, Aspen, and some other places have announced plans to slow down the release of some of their solicited titles. The only publisher that said specifically is Magnetic Press, and Vault have released revised release dates for some of their titles. The other publishers haven't gone into specifics, so it's just kind of an idea right now. It's kind of waiting to see what they decide to do. Some say that they're going to postpone titles, and some will be canceled altogether. I don't know if they may mean canceled and then come back later, or they may mean truly canceled, as in something that's announced may not come out ever, which would be sad, but we'll kind of see what the market's like. Like you said, DC has not said anything. I've had conversations with DC all through the week. I have nothing to announce, but they are very aware of how it is affecting retailers. Like, this isn't a statement on their behalf, but just in working with them and the kind of people they are, they're very aware of the situation. And I don't want to say expect, but knowing the kind of people they are and how they adapt to things, I would not be surprised if they announce something either individually, or they might work in tandem with Diamond on a comprehensive relief package. I'll put that in quotes. I've received word from two other sources that Diamond is working on a comprehensive relief package, quote, unquote, that it essentially means they're trying to get the major publishers together to have a plan for retailers that isn't just for one publisher where everything's different, but it's one that's good for all the major publishers that is being offered to retailers. There's no idea on what that is, what it could be. I don't want to speculate because I don't want to get people's hopes up or kind of set expectations, but Diamond is working on something. Diamond in itself, again, Diamond is the one that gets the comics from the printers to your comic shop. They've started doing some steps like this week. Normally comics go on sale on Wednesday. They allowed the comic stores who had the product already on Tuesday, which many do or do normally, to sell those earlier, to allow them instead of that normal rush of people that come on Wednesday, that maybe helps split that rush, so there's less people in stores at one time. Diamond put out, I received some information about how they're changing the packing of comics to help limit the spread of the virus. I've got that up on Newsarama if people want to check that out, which is helpful. Diamond has also put out some other plans that retailers can talk to their Diamond rep and find out, and I have some of it that I'm publishing on Newsarama.com. Like I said, the Marvel discounts, which came late on a Friday after they were talking about it for a while, gives retailers, I don't want to say how much, that's between the retailers and them, but a significant discount where the cost of buying comics, where they already receive a discount because they're buying it wholesale, it makes that discount even more significant, which might encourage them to buy the same level of comics, or even if they decrease, to buy it knowing that they've risked less of their money going forward. And if and when their customers do eventually come in, that they'll get some extra money out of it that might help them in these leaner times.
And what can the average fan do to help right now, Chris, in your opinion, with what's going on right now?
If you shop at a comic store, try to shop at the comic store in whatever way is safest for you. I'd contact them, see what they're offering, and decide for yourself what's the safest way. If for some reason you don't see a way to do that, if you feel comfortable with it, maybe you could buy a gift card by phone or pay via the phone, and they just hold the products away from you for the time being, just to give the retailer money to basically to keep the lights on, keep paying employees and things like that. If you don't feel comfortable with that, it's an individual decision. There's companies, mail order companies such as Midtown Comics and DCBS, which are the two biggest retailer sellers of comics in the United States in and of itself. Like those, I checked with them on Friday. They're both still up and running. If you decide to go digital, that's in this situation, no one's going to judge you for that. It's pretty much whatever's best for you and your family in that situation. Comixology is up and running. If you need to get the comics, that's the best way to go digitally. They've also, Comixology has a unlimited service, which is kind of like Netflix for comics. It doesn't have every comic, but it has many from the top publishers. They've expanded their 30-day trial to a 60-day trial. So, like, if you wanted to sign up today, you could read comics, their selection of recent and classic comics from Marvel, DC, Image, some manga, some great sources there. That 60-day trial would get you through around May 20th. So that might be an option for you, especially if you're stuck at home and that is a way to read a bunch of comics. They won't necessarily be the comics that are coming out this week, but you can really catch up on things you missed. That's ways to go to support the people that sell comics. If you're a fan of certain creators, I would look out online, their social media, for their website, but they're probably updating social media more. They may be offering things like digital commissions. I commissioned two pieces this week where they'll draw them for you and send them to you. Or they may be selling, they may be having discounts on their digital comics somewhere, or they may be doing live video chats with fans on their own or through various kind of group projects they're being done. That's a method to do it. But really kind of, like, you want to, the people that you buy comics from directly, like your retailer or the creators, like, let them know somehow that you're still there for them and that you're still going to be a fan and they're still going to follow their work, and just provide them that reassurance of right now that fandom and the readership isn't going to basically leave them or change. I think that'd be a really... Like, if you can show it with dollars, great. Like, if you could, if not, just show it through other means, just to show that there is that support system here.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like I was saying earlier, even if you can't afford it, you know, maybe you work in the service industry yourself and you can't afford to spend money on comics now, be sure you reach out to your shop and let them know one way or the other. You know, mm-hmm. that so much is uncertain for them right now. It's okay. You know, don't feel guilty. They're going to understand that if, you know, you don't have money coming in, you don't even know how you're going to pay your rent or eat, then, you know, they understand that you don't have money to spend on comics as much as you'd like to. But you got to communicate, you got to let them know. Conversely, if you are one of the people that works in one of these industries that's, you know, essential and you're still getting a paycheck and you still plan on spending your money, let them know that too. You know, that's going to brighten up their day. Hey, look, you know, we got this regular that comes in and we know we can still count on his cash flow. So that's great too. You know, that'll really help them out. It's something you can do and be nice on social media, you know, that goes a long way too. With everybody so isolated, it's the place where a lot of people are turning to get interaction. And I always have encouraged people to reach out on social media and talk to these creators. You know, we live in a day and age it's so great that you can reach out and talk to the people that make this content that we love so much and be able to get answers back. And that kind of thing is just so cool. I wish I had that when I was younger and being able to interact with these creators, I think is just, it's something that's special. So take advantage of it, but be nice. We're all in this together and times are tough. So we're going to kind of wrap up here with a little bit of speculation on the future. I don't necessarily have any ideas on what might happen other than a generic, vague, something's got to change. I will say I don't think this is going to be the death of the print comic, like I've seen some people saying. I think that there's too much nostalgia. There's the collectability side of it. It may shrink. We may see a lot fewer print comics. I certainly think that we're going to see fewer comic book stores probably for a long, long time, if not, you know, kind of as a permanent thing, sort of just a contraction of the direct market, because I know a lot of shops aren't going to be able to survive this. And it's always in the back of your mind that it could happen again now that it's happened once. You know, this has been sort of an unprecedented event in modern human history. And I think with the technology that we have and, you know, in terms of life, we really have it kind of easy. We have technology, we have electricity, it allows for so many different things. We really, when people hear about hardship, they can't really envision it. It's just human nature. And now this has scared a lot of people, and it's going to put it in their back of their mind that something like this could happen again. And you know, as much as I hate to say it, comics are a luxury item. I feel like for me, they're a necessity, a need. I need it to live. But the honest truth is they are a luxury item. And when times are tough, those are usually the first things to go. And will people want to open a comic shop? You know, some of them aren't going to survive. Not all of them will be replaced. Certainly not in the near term. So that's kind of what I expect. But really, who knows? Honestly. So what about you? What do you think the future holds, Chris?
I'm really thankful that I don't want this to happen, but I'm really thankful that it's happening at a time where there are other options and other ways to communicate. Like you were talking about the speculator boom in the 90s. Like, imagine if this were to happen then, just in terms of the news spreading, but also in terms of how it could have killed the business then if that was happening now. But now we have other options available. So it is happening at a time where I am more hopeful for how we can recover and grow from this. I do think, like you said, it will change the industry. I have always thought that digital readership will become a bigger portion of the way people read comics even before this catastrophe, I'll say. But I think this might encourage that more, but also might make the physical reading experience and buying from a store a more prized and valued prospect. So it becomes more of a destination when you can go to a comic shop and buy things, but I do think it will encourage digital readership with people, and that's like whatever is safest for you and your personal value as a reader. Like, I do think it might do some course correcting in just the amount of comics that are being sold, or maybe the speed that they're being sold and how. There's more comics hitting the direct market each week now than ever before. It's at a humongous rate, and that's without even counting the variants and things like that. So this might limit that to some degree, so that there's less comics and allows hits to be bigger if you're a discerning audience. But we'll kind of see. Like, there's comic creators now making comics like this week as all this goes on. Like, will what they're going through, will you be able to see it in the comics? Like, some on the, some may be able to keep it outside. I do think there'll be stories told about this in comics, but like a lot of comic creators I've talked to have, to not yet stressed out about it, have been making more comics than ever. So, I have, Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor live in Florida as I do. And I spoke with them, and they spoke about it on record that this week they've been 100% focused on comics. They were prepped for the situation. They're holed up in their house, and they're both making more comics now than they've been able to do in a while, just because there's not a lot of, other outside pressure and other kinds of work commitments. Meetings, conventions, movie premieres, and things like that. They're making a lot of comics. So I'm kind of looking forward to when this is all over and there's this big boom of comics that basically come out at once. Like, you might see some comics that wouldn't have happened before come together now in this special time, either just in this kind of purely capitalist way to boost sales. But also, it might have some creators who haven't talked to each other in a while get in touch, and there might be something that comes out of that. Like, I don't know. Like, people would really love to see new, like, Walking Dead issues. Like, what if this, I'm not saying it will, but what if this encourages Robert and Charlie to do that? Like, I know that scenario could be too eerily similar, but I do see a situation where something might provoke them to do more. Who knows? We ran an article Friday evening at a Newsarama, and could this provoke Marvel and DC to once again do a Marvel and DC crossover with their modern creators and do that? Could that happen? Could there be more graphic novels? Could there be more graphic novels for kids? I think it's going to be an interesting time, I'm just kind of already kind of trying to transport myself 2-3 months in the future where all this has passed and we can read comics without everything else going on, and we can go to conventions and we can have conversations and speak about more positive stuff. Like, my staff and I have been working all week this week, and we've had to report on a lot of, I don't want to say negative, but some disheartening news. And it's our job to report the news, no matter if it's good or bad or like whatever it is. But we'd really like to report on some other things besides what's going on now. Like, we just kind of hope that this isn't going on. 2-3 months from now, we can report on more positive things.
Yeah, 100%. And I also hope that all the publishers survive. I mean, we have, not only do we have more product, more comics being produced than ever before, but I feel like we have more publishers than we've ever had before. It seems, you know, one pops up every other month. I just don't know if the market can support that. And I know some of them have gone on hiatus and they're not printing anything, which I
think. Yeah, Aspen has publicly announced they're postponing their new titles. They are continuing with reprints and things of that nature, but they've canceled their new releases for the next 2 months, I believe. There was a report, unconfirmed, from some sources that Valiant might be reevaluating what they're doing. I'm concerned for everybody there, and hope that whatever they do is in the best interest of everybody.
Yeah, I saw that report also, and then I saw a couple of Valiant creators on social media this morning that were like Ryan Brown put up a picture of a Quantum and Woody cover with the, you know, the red circle with the slash through it. Now he's looking for more work. So. I hope for the small publisher's sake, I know people that work at Valiant. I know people that work at Aspen. I hope they can weather the storm.
Yeah. I'm just, going back to be a news reporter. Just when that kind of news comes out where it's not confirmed, I'm not saying anyone being sensationalist or anything, but just when this news comes out, I hope it comes out in a way that's reported clearly. And there isn't a little bit of hint of speculation in there that might put a spin on it, on things.
I'm just right. Yeah.
Like, I'd like to hear more information about the Valiant scenario before I agree to what's going on is actually going on. But I feel for everyone going through that, and like, I do think it will affect publishing lines. But I'm kind of just waiting to see what actually happens versus. Kind of rumors, speculation, but you can't really tell, like in some cases.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that does it. I hope that all of you listening to this can take this as a positive thought. Comics are still in a great place in terms of story and in terms of the variety, in terms of access, you know, whether it's digitally with Marvel Unlimited or the DC Universe app or Webtoon or Comixology or what have you. Even if you're stuck at home, there's still a way to read these awesome stories. So the medium we love is still out there. The creators that we love for creating these stories are a lot of them are accessible on social media. Even if you are stuck at home, hey, they're stuck at home too. So it's not all bad. There are silver linings. And again, I just encourage you to reach out to your comic shop where you normally buy your books and kind of find out what they're doing and the best way you can help them kind of weather the storm. So thanks for joining me, Chris. Your insight is level-headed and good to hear as always. As we're wrapping up here, any final thoughts?
I just want everybody to be safe, no matter if you're a comic creator, fan, retailer, staffer, comics journalist, podcaster, whatever. I just want everybody to be safe and just keep reading comics in the way that is safest for you. But you have a lot of free time now, so maybe read a bunch of comics. And how about people post about it on social media, tag the people, the comics they're reading, kind of tell them about it, really kind of show them that people are out there, like in this kind of these dark times, like these comics are bringing people enjoyment in these dark times. Like 2 years ago, like I went through a hurricane experience where I was, I couldn't live in my house for a few months, and comics were the thing that really saved me and offered me kind of a time where I wasn't worrying about things. So if people can use comics as like what you said, that a luxury item to get them kind of out of the dark times and reading the news and off the internet and reading things. If you can read those and post about it, like either on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, or if, the comic creator has a website, reach out to them there and just tell them a thank you for the books you read, or through like the letters pages, like Marvel still has a letters pages, as do other publishers. DC has a forum over at the DC Universe forum. I don't know, just spend some time like reading comics and telling those people thank you. Like they, I can't speak for creators individually, but I really think that they would like to hear people being rewarded by the comics that they've created, kind of helping them in this kind of situation.
Yeah, great advice for sure. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll talk to you next time.